words about the framed case. And I have to say there's one quite embarrassing fact to start with. Namely, you would like to know what is homotropy type of the frame in this operat, for example, is it formal, is it not? And or how to understand this? And unfortunately, the embarrassing answer is nobody knows. We don't understand the homotropy type for quite at least greater than 2 or 3. Somewhat open, but at least what I want to do now is I want to tell you what is known and what can be done about it. So what is fairly well understood is a two-dimensional case.
Statement is a bit different than the other. They are not purely the same. And yeah, also the method is not the same.
Yeah, okay. So, well, in fact, it's not so hard to
prove. This I didn't want to say.
What?
This I didn't want to say that it was not fun.
So, you can. Yeah, it's called maybe. If one just adopts conservative method. So recall that consider this case and consider the zigzag was something like this, where the chains, you map it to graphs, and the graphs have a metric form h star of fm. And here we actually do a minor modification. We put a couple of frames, letters. And as the object in the middle, we define, I mean, before it used to be graphs, where I had no tadpoles, so tadpoles were forbidden. Now I make the following change, and that's the only change that is necessary. Allow tadpoles at the external vertices, but still forbid tadpoles at the internal vertices. And everything else is defined exactly the same way. And the only thing you have to think about is what kind of form do you assign to those things. And that's kind of obvious because here you see what you insert at point is really one copy of S1. And this is what you assign, the form you assign here is just D5. Just run the same proof and you get a corresponding success. What I also want to say, so this object here is also known as a VB opera. So this is similar to the Poisson opera. We call that the Poisson opera was generated by binary operations for the product and the bracket that are compatible. And the VB opera has, in addition, a unary operator. My convention is between minus 1, that satisfies the condition that if you take, if you apply this operator to a product A by P, it's equal to A by P plus.
I'm not sure how many it is.
The derivation is not a 2 operator.
What?
So sorry. You want to say that delta is a derivation with respect to the product?
No, I'm not giving it. I'm still writing it.
It still adds the practice.
I'm not sure how visible it is on that corner with those small letters.
So the relation here is that.
Did you like it? One more relation. Let's see if I
text about SON. So this FN frame is equal to FMN, and then taking the product with SON, so the serve just reminds you, it takes the K array operation, which is FMN K cross SON, which is a K. So, in particular, if we want to understand this homotopy type, we have to understand the homotopy type of SON. So I want to recall a certain fact. Of course, the expression is that I know it, but excuse me, it's nice. So, well known. What is the cohomology of SON? That's zero. Let's say for we always for the heart or the field of characteristics, we don't care about torsion. Then the cohomology of SON is a free polynomial algebra generated by certain classes, which I call. Let me make a case distinction. You have to always distinguish the case of N odd and the case of N even. In the case of N odd, R is generated by classes P3, P7, and so on up to P, so K minus 1. So it's a free polynomial algebra generated by so many generators where this K is such that 2K plus 1 is equal to N. And these things can be called Pontryagin classes. But I don't precisely tell you how to fix them here, so it's small. Pontryagin class would be one specific choice, maybe, but let me still not care and call such any such generator Pontryagin. For an even, it's slightly different. You also have some P's up to P.
I think the generator is not always canonical.
No.
Well, yes. No, it's primitives in the.
Yeah, if you have the Hopf structure, but I don't want to. That's the next point. Yeah. You impose that. That as a Hopf algebra, and then it's economic, but it just do the algebra stuff. And the subscript I will be writing are always in degrees. So P3 is in degree 3, P7 in degree 7, and so on. And in the even case, we have one additional class, which is the Euler class. Lives in degree n minus 1.
How is it? The coincides with one of the degree times, right? Coincides with one of the other degrees, so I don't know. How is it?
I don't understand.
So the degree of the other class coincides with the degree of one of the previous classes in the list, right?
Like, for example, they are all equivalent to 3 mod 5, mod 4. Now if you pick the n...
Sometimes.
For example, for SO4, SO8, and SO12, there will be such a coincidence. And here the k is such that n is equal to 2k. And there's a map, there's an inclusion of SON minus 1 in SON. And the induced map on the classes is such that more or less the P's all get preserved, and then you have and the top Pontryagin class goes to the square of the Euler class. Then you can.
But that might be difficult because they are all odd.
Let me. I want to make the same statement in different context. Let me take that back for a second. I want to make the statement a little bit later. active for 3 plus 1. And it is such that all these generators I've written here can be able to be printed. Takes the co-product of any of the PJs, one can be PJ plus PJ can come out, and so on. And it's similar for the E. Then we can, from this more or less, read off. First of all, you can read off the rational homotopy groups. The rational homotopy groups will just be the linear span of these generators here, so the primitive elements. And from that again, you can compute the H star of the classifying space. That will be exactly the same, except that all these generators are pushed up 1 degree. P4, P8, 1, up to P4K. Here we have for an even. For an even we have P4 into 1 up to P4K minus 4, and then we have EN. Forms, that is clearly formal. As a weakly commutative algebra. So which means that you have a commutative algebra map from here to there. That's clear because this is free, so you just have to specify some generators and you're sensitive to source elements that you're done. What is less obvious is that it's formal always a Hopf algebra. But it's true. So that's obvious. Intrinsically formal, it cannot be deformed. So anything with the same cohomology will automatically be called as more. But showing this is not so pretty. You need to go like this deformation theory for Hopf algebras. Can be easily computed is the homology of FM and frame. That is not hard. So this is equal to consent. So n odd is just how to write this. The homology, as a vector space, is very easy to compute, obviously, because fn from k is equal to fmn k cross SON plus the K. So it's a Cartesian product. So certainly the homology is a tensor product of homology of this and the homology of this. The question is, how does it interfere with the operand structure? So what's the operand structure?
I'm a little bit confused about this composition sign. Just
could, yeah. So
what does it mean?
So yeah, let me. The action of the Euler class. So, by simple degree counting, essentially, you can show that the operatic structure here is as follows. So when n is odd, no action, so it means it's a trivial action of h star s of n on plus n h star fn. When n is even, the only the Euler class acts not trivially. The action is that the Euler class applied to the product generator is equal to the bracket generator. And then, so this result is due to Salvatore and Bahn, if you want to read more about it. Yeah? That is not hard because plus has no derivation. So, in particular, in the even case, you might call it like a higher UV operator if you want. So, it's the same as the operator, except that there's free algebra in the Ponty eigenclasses multiplied, and the degrees are changed. So the BD operator is now not in degree 1, but in degree n minus 1. Or rather, not in degree minus 1, but in degree 1 minus n in my computer. So, what to do for other n? How do we even get a hand on this? And so one statement I want to sell to you is that in order to understand the action of differential forms on SON, on differential forms of this FMN, what you have to understand is the equivariant differential forms on this operator. So, this operator. So, let me make a few remarks to classify this. The connection. About these spaces. So, here we take for V. Connected compact topological group, even the E group, which acts on some space X. Then one standard definition makes the topology is the so-called homotopy quotient. So one takes X and might not come as a free G action, but one can make this action free by taking the product with the space which is contractible and in which G acts freely. Then one quotients the diagonal G action here, so here the G acts there and there diagonally. Then one calls the homotopy quotient of X. And particularly the homology of this homotopy quotient, one calls the equivariant homology. Okay. So this fits, if you want, into a diagram. So we have EB X cross EB, and so we have a map from EG to BG, so it's a universal principal bundle, and from this we get a map from X homotopy quotient is B to BG. And if you have just that map, you may recover the G space X at least up to homotopy by this diagram. So you have X to the BG and from that to BG. Here you have your principal B bundle. And if you have a pullback or homotopy pullback, but here it's actually a pullback or vibration, then you get a space that is homotopy equivalent to X. So in principle, what you get here, in fact, is actually X cross EG, which, because EG is compatible.
But actually, it's better to say X equals G.
Okay, sorry. So if you have just this homotopy quotient, you can recover your original G space by a pullback or almost a pullback if you already know, if you also know this map from A to B. So now there's this other slope, and we want to take differential forms everywhere, and we want to take GT commutative algebras quasi isomorphic to these differential forms. And there's this slope, and that at least that space is simply connected, and here comes in the connectivity of G. Homotopy groups of BG are the same as, G is a loop space of BG, so the homotopy groups of G are the same as that of BG, but shifted down by one. So if G is connected, BG is simply connected. And the slogan for the simply connected basis is that the model for the pullback is the push-out of the model. So and can we cover model for forms on X? Recover the original model for the original G space by taking the tensor product over HBG, with this possible complex over here. So this is a little bit sloppy the way I did it over here. To write it carefully is much more effort. But what I want to convince you is that all the information is in the equivariant model for FNN. So now we want to work in the equivariant setting, and we want to understand the equivariant differential forms. And we always work over the ground field, the ground ring HPG instead of R.
Yeah, I have two small questions. Yeah. Logically, I don't quite understand why do you now, so you say all the information in equivariant model, and that I easily believe, but why do you want to then recover from the equivariant model the non-equivariant one?
Because you want models with a framed disk problem. Like how do you recover it? I mean, if you have another way to recover from the equivariant model, directly a model for the framed opera.
No, why does one need it? Because you in the end, you want non-equivariant.
Yeah, at the end, I want the model for the frame to this model. So that is what goes into the models for frame operation space.
And maybe another question, slightly more technical. I thought in this, Kazoo geometry operation, what you recover is actually the invariant part. Not every, but of course it probably doesn't matter too much, right? Because the non-invariant part, it has no cohomology or something. But just technically speaking, I thought this Kazoo duality gives you
that. Yes, correct. That is where the connectivity comes in. So this push out of the model and pullback is only for simply connected base. Mm-hmm. If the base is not simply connected, you cannot use that. Because in general, the rational homomorphic theory is more complicated for non-simple connected space. Rather, what you have to do is you have to take a universal cover, take models of that, and work always equivariantly under the action, like a second equivariantly under the action of the fundamental loop. So it is true if we integrate, and there, for example, you can take an O(n) frame, but then it's not simply connected. And then what we would have to do is we would actually do the same construction for SON, but always keeps the set 2 action on all objects. For technical reasons, I don't want to do it. It's like only made this notation more difficult without adding any information. So upshot. Suffices to understand the equivariant differential forms on the end, together maybe with a map from H of BT. And then we understand it as a co-operator over this ground. That will contain all of the information. So maybe I should tell you how to take this equivariant model. I will maybe slightly cheat. But one other slogan is that if you have a connected D group, connected compact D group, then equivariant cohomology with respect to G is the same as equivariant cohomology with respect to the normalizer of the maximal torus, which you can write as omega T for the maximal torus, and you could divide the invariance essentially. I think so. One model for omega T of X. So you take differential forms on X, and then you take polynomials in certain variables q1 to ur. This r here is the rank of the group. Say g compact connected u group. If it's not connected, again, there's a slight thing you have to do. I don't know. R is the rank of g,
and this U should be seen as a generator of the cohomology of PS1, which gives you the cohomology of the B, T, the torus. So you take here the invariance under the torus action, and you take the invariance under the binary action. That would be one model where the differential here is equal to the Durand differential plus sum over Qj times the insertion of the j's generating vector field. Let's call this differential du. Particularly, if you insert for x a point, you immediately get one model for h of dv. These are just the invariance is a free polynomial algebra in terms of R variables. And just to see what we are doing, if we take the Euler class, this is just the product of all the U's. If we take the top one, the Arlen class, this is the product of all the U squared. Now we more or less do the boring thing. Here we have this conceived construction in the non-equivariant case. Just do the obvious unlock in the equivariant setting. So replace forms everywhere by equivariant forms. So that's, you can say, more or less student project. You have solved like 0 and x and give it to your student and say, do the equivariant version. That's a trick of generating projects, problems. The main point here is, however, that something new arises that we didn't see before, and that makes the whole thing complicated.
Then you can runs in construction, fine, everything works, except here you have to have a differential to reflect this. So the differential here would mean that you...
Maybe I'm missing something. How is it, what about those declarations, right?
It would be now only in the base case first. Mm-hmm. So we are not on a manifold yet. Mm-hmm. And I will not discuss the manifold case. But because in the base case, not understood. So we are in plain RM, there are no declarations, nothing. They're just graphs with edges, mm-hmm. but no declarations on variables. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a declaration by you can multiply by a polynomial that's used, but not more. And this already tells you how to deform the differential here. Namely, you now have to say that the g of any f is equal to. But you see, there's a certain technical problem now. Namely, these graphs represent an integral over the black vertices of a certain form omega gamma you associate with the graph. And one technical point that is hidden in conceptual construction is. When you show that it's compatible with the differential, you will have certain boundary terms from Stokes' theorem. When a couple of points collapse, they can collapse in the interior, or they can collapse at downstairs points, or they can go to infinity. In the conservative setting, most of these terms were zero by degree reasons. Basically, when a couple of points collapse in the interior, they are zero essentially because of the same degree counting we had before. And at least if n is, let's say, bigger than 2. So more or less every edge would contribute to degree 1 minus d, every vertex would contribute to degree d. So if you assume that everything is trivalent, you will end up with a form which is a negative degree, so you cannot integrate it. Here, however, you see the degree counting no longer works because we have a volume form, plus we have corrections in u that contain lower form degrees. So the same degree counting here fails. So in fact, what you have is that these boundary strata will contribute will form an interesting more Cartoon.
So you mean, there's no vanishing lemma in this case, huh?
Yes, a priori no vanishing lemma.
And therefore that would be much more complicated.
So you can run this story, but the differential d here is relatively complicated. I have to again distinguish n even and odd. Let's say we go to n odd first because this is where I can compute something. And so So in the easiest case, we look for graphs with just two vertices. And that's, that would be the easiest. The most general graph you can make is graph with two vertices and a couple of edges in between. And in fact, there need to be an odd number of edges, let's say two k plus one edges. Between, because otherwise it will have a symmetry that fills the graph. I don't want to discuss much. Then what do we have to discuss? We have to compute an integral over fm n2. So this is just a sphere, sn minus 1. So this is not s integral. Integral over sn minus 1 over this equivalent volume form of the sphere. The 2k plus plus power. This is an integral you can compute. Why can you compute it? Well, it's an integral over, yeah, essentially, so the trick you can use here is equivariant localization. So I have an integral over an equivariant form, and the u of this is 0. Then you have to divide by a certain contribution and, that comes from the action of the tangent frame, essentially, which in our case will be just one over u1 to ur. And if you do that, you define that the result is u1 to ur to the 2k plus 1 divided by this contribution on the tangent from the tangent frame, which is just u1 to u2r in our case, and there's a number c that depends on the dimension n, which we don't want to write down explicitly, which is non-zero. So we have cn times, if you remember what I wrote for the top Pontryagin class before, we have cn times top Pontryagin class. So these integrals can be completely evaluated, and so you know how this alpha starts, which is bottom up. So you have a sum over all k, and then there's a factor c. So this depends on n and on k. The 2k plus 1, n plus 1. Times this graph over here, this 2k plus 1 vertices. In fact, you can check that there's an overall constant c, and those come with relative weights 2k plus 1 to 4. But plus there might be higher order computations. But what you see already from this computation here is that the action is not trivial. And because the action is not trivial, you can see that for n odd, the frame, the list of rods cannot deform, right? Because you looked at the, if you remember, we computed the homology, and the homology had no action, trivial action of S. And here we see that if you go beyond the homology, you do have a non-trivial action. So it cannot deform, that's not possible. It's not quite a proof what I've given you, because in between you have to say that really these elements here act non-trivially, but they can.
Say it again, what is cannot deform?
So what follows is cannot deform.
Ah, you mean, okay, I'm going to do
that. Of
the just means that one is pretty sure.
Not formed over R, or be on. Fortunately for the corresponding statement for even n, I have not found any. Fortunately, I have not found any non-vanishing integrals. So there is still the conjecture that for even n, the Frank n operator is formed.
But this is not formed.
And in principle, we have an explicit model for this operator that can be cooked up by this method, but it involves always this more Cartoian alpha, you know, kind of. It is like halfway. You can write down something, but it will always depend on this alpha that you don't know precisely. Mm-hmm. So complete understanding is not there. A complete understanding results in this alpha can be wrong. Also, there's a corresponding conjecture for odd n. For odd n, the conjecture is that you can change the representative of alpha in its gauge equivalence class so as to kill those terms. So the conjecture is that these terms here can be engaged away. And if that is true, you have the explicit model also for the frame and this operator for odd n. It's just not the homology.
Local actions which kind of go exactly to the
to those compactified strata. Like panel, it sounds a little bit of a similar flavor, not the same, but
I cannot make a direct connection. Like in our paper about the logarithmic integration, these kind of actions were more or less auxiliary. If we had no actions but just the tangential foliation at the boundary, that would be fine enough. So there's no real significance. But and those that were not quite natural, you rotate around the center of mass, this operatic inequality. And so I don't think I can make a direct connection.
Any more questions?
Thanks again.